Hello, you're watching Europe Now. I'm in Madrid for the latest in our series about levelling up in the European Union. Spain has been hit by the energy crisis and inflation, which has put pressure on its post-COVID economic recovery and on those levelling up efforts to reduce inequalities. On top of that, Spain has experienced months of political uncertainty, with elections this summer showing just how fragmented and divisive the politics of this country have become. The People's Party won the most seats in the July elections, but in September, its leader, Alberto Núñez Feijóo, failed to form a coalition with the far-right party, Vox. That handed the initiative to the outgoing Prime Minister Pedro Sánchez of the Socialists. He got the support of the left-wing Sumar movement and eventually the backing of Catalan pro-independence leaders such as Carles Puigdemont. In return, they want an amnesty law. Sánchez will put his coalition deal to a vote in Parliament in almost the final month of Spain's EU presidency. I'm in the Viana Palace in Madrid with the acting foreign minister, José Manuel Álvarez. Welcome to you to the program, Mr. Álvarez.
Thank you.
The political situation is obviously quite tense. The Catalan politician Carles Puigdemont, who says there should be an amnesty for those that have been either imprisoned or who are being investigated in relation to the events of 2017. Do you think there should be an amnesty?
I don't think anyone has, neither in Spain nor outside Spain, any doubt that Catalonia and the dialogue among Catalans is much better today than with the PP government. So dialogue is a very good way to reach coexistence.
Can Mr. Sánchez offer something that might be rejected by the courts of Spain?
What I'm sure is that Pedro Sánchez will do anything, any dialogue within the constitutions. Listening to Alberto Núñez Feijóo, we all knew he's going to fail. He knew it since the very first day, since the day he accepted from His Majesty the King the mandate to go in front of the Congress. Every place in which he can, he make alliance with extreme rights that rejects equality between men and women, that have a completely different approach to migration than a European approach, that denies climate change.
That was regional level.
There is no doubt that if he could, he would have done the same thing at the national level. The only thing is that Spaniards completely rejected having extreme prime minister in the government of Spain.
Mr. Sánchez's speech to the European Parliament was delayed. Some of your ministerial colleagues didn't get to Strasbourg for their presentations until 2 months into the EU presidency. So isn't there a problem of optics here?
What it counts of a presidency is the outcome. We started in July with this great success that was the EU CELAC, the Europe-Latin America Summit, and the signature of very important agreements on raw materials. We are having very important decisions concerning climate change, foreign policy, economic and finance.
On Spain's cohesion funds, the levelling up funds, and the next generation EU funds, do you see a threat to the planning or implementation of those funds because of the political crisis in Spain?
Not at all. On the contrary, Spain is a good example of how to handle very well those funds. We have been the country that has got the first tranches first. We are really showing the level of commitment to use it for digital transition, green transition. And when you see the macroeconomic figures, we have a growth of 2.2 in our GDP. We have one of the lowest inflation in Europe. So we are, above all, an example.
José Manuel Álvarez, Acting Foreign Minister, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Spain is one of the main beneficiaries of the EU's levelling up policies. But how exactly are those cohesion funds used? Our reporter Sophie Samai tells us more.
Sea, sand, sun. Welcome to Spain. But behind the picture postcard image is a less attractive reality. Spain has some of the biggest inequalities between its regions of the European Union. To reduce those gaps between rich and poor, the European Commission earmarked €37.3 billion to Spain as part of its cohesion policy between 2021 and 2027. The third biggest package in the EU after Poland and Italy. Half of those funds are set aside for investment in the five poorest regions, Andalusia, Extremadura, Castilla-La Mancha, Ceuta and Melilla. The main goals create jobs and promote social cohesion, accelerate the green transition and finance innovation and the digital transition. The European Regional Development Fund will allocate €3.3 billion to help Spain produce 74% of its energy from renewables by 2030. Spain is also the biggest beneficiary of the EU's post-COVID recovery plan, set to receive over €77 billion by 2026.
Well, I'm in front of the Royal Palace in Madrid, and I'm with a prominent member of the European Parliament, Antonio López Isturiz White, who is a member of the European People's Party, and in Spain, he's part of the Conservative PP, or People's Party. Let's talk first about the results of the election for your party in July. Why do you think the PP didn't get a bigger share of the vote?
OK, first we have to start saying that we won the elections. Second, yeah. Maybe it was not what we expected. The polls were far more positive. But okay, we have to respect that. And we have now, let's say, a complicated political panorama in Spain. Unfortunately, we don't merit this. The problem is in the left, where you have also parties from the extreme regionalist independentism that Sánchez might take in as partners in this coalition. And this is very worrisome for the stability in Spain.
Speaking of extremism, of course, your opponents keep pointing to the fact that your party has an alliance with the far-right Vox party now in five regions.
Extreme right parties are not the same everywhere. It's the same AFD in Germany than Vox in Spain, or, Vox is in ECR, in the European Parliament, the conservative group. But AFD, it's on the not even on the line, it's in the extreme right.
But when you see them, for example, getting rid of some of the ministries for gender equality and
electoral rhetoric, we'll see with the government with Partido Popular, which is the reasonable centre-right force. These kind of parties that unfortunately have appeared due to the economical crisis in the past, what we have to do is to take them, rid of them democratically. Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a bit about Spain's EU presidency. We've been speaking here to the acting foreign minister who insists that the EU presidency has not suffered at all from the political drama in Spain.
I wish. The presidency of the European Union for a country is not for a leader. It's for the country. Spain is reflected in that. So you need consensus between all the political forces. We said we were going to support this presidency. But of course, with the agenda that was fixed before mixing national elections with presidency, I, as a Europeanist, I am against the idea of having presidencies of the European Union together with national elections. Because at the end, you don't achieve the results that you want.
Just a quick point on the various EU funding programmes. Is that potentially affected by political instability?
Fortunately, that depends on the European Union and the European institutions, which do not suffer this kind of political instability. So for that, that's one of the good points that maybe citizens should know about the European, and they feel that Europe brings certain stability where national panoramas, things are not so stable politically.
Thank you so much, Mr. Isturiz-White.
Thank you very much, Armand.
Let's talk about bridging the digital divide in the EU. The Spanish authorities launched Digital Spain 2026, which aims to make all Spanish citizens fully ready to benefit from the digital revolution. Luke Brown reports.
Spinning gears and technicians hard at work at the Código bike shop in Urense, western Spain. It's a specialist store and the market is booming, even with premium prices.
Right now, the average ticket is higher. An electric bike can therefore cost an average of €4,000 or €5,000.
Código Bike's physical store offers expert advice, but they haven't bothered to invest in a serious online presence until now. Thanks to a digital toolkit from the Spanish government funded by the EU, Julio and his team are aiming for an upgrade.
Having an operational sales website has never, ever worked for us. So now what we intend to do is to strengthen this new sales channel that we hope the new website will provide for us.
170 kilometers away, the new website is taking shape, financed with around 6,000 euros from the digital toolkit. Madrid has earmarked 4.6 billion euros of its EU-funded post-COVID recovery plan for getting small and medium enterprises online. Many still lag behind the EU average for e-commerce sales.
As soon as the customer realizes the potential of the online channel, then they can actually extend the collaboration to other fields, the quality assurance, the data analysis, the cloud, the integration with the artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Spain is surfing the digital wave and has accelerated faster than the EU average in connectivity and digital public services. On the other side of the country in Catalonia, Sant Boi de Llobregat sees itself as a role model. It's currently piloting a new privately funded scheme to facilitate digital accessibility for all, bringing e-services closer to residents.
If you come here, you're probably within a radius of about 5 minutes maximum from your house. And it is convenient because you're in contact with the city official, just like at the city council, and it is faster.
In Sant Boi, European cohesion funds have financed e-administration and free Wi-Fi in public buildings. The town also runs programs to ensure older people are computer literate and encourage uptake amongst women. In Spain, only 19% of ICT professionals are female. For the mayor, it's crucial that her citizens are not left behind.
Digital rights are a right. It has become a right of citizenship because it has become a vital instrument to access other rights, like health, education, and work. So if we do not prepare and give resources to our citizens to access this digital right under equal opportunities and conditions, then they will be left out.
Spain is pressing ahead at high speed in its digital transition. It's also launched a digital nomad visa to encourage tech professionals from around the world to bring their know-how to Spain.
So we've spoken to representatives from the two traditional parties, the Socialists and the Conservatives. But what about some of the other parties that also have their part to play in this political drama? We're going to take you now briefly to Brussels to talk to them. We're going to continue the discussion now with Herman Terch, who is a member of the Vox Party in Spain. And here in the European Parliament, he's part of the European Conservatives and Reformists, or ECR. Welcome to the programme, Mr. Terch.
Thank you very much.
Let's talk a little bit about the PP, the People's Party of Spain, the Conservatives. Alberto Núñez Feijóo failed to form a coalition. What were you thinking when that happened?
It was in a great extent self-inflicted, no? He believed his own propaganda, saying that he had won already 4 weeks before the elections. He had a majority enough to despise Vox, and so they attacked Vox. What happened is that we don't have enough together. It's four seats what we needed to have the absolute majority, PP and Vox, and we would have a solid conservative government in Spain. And now we will have a government, if we don't go to elections in January, we will have a government of socialists, communists, ex-terrorists, separatists who have made a coup d'etat 5 years ago and who prepare another coup d'etat now.
What you call the coup d'etat, what we're hearing is that the idea of another referendum in Catalonia is completely out of the question.
That's again a lie, as they indulge the pardons for the most of the implicated who stayed in Spain. The pardons were out of the question, they were given. Now they come with the amnesty, was out of the question. Now they are negotiating the amnesty, which is expressly forbidden by the Constitution of Spain.
I'm now with Green MEP Ernest Urtasun, who is also the spokesperson for SUMAR, which is the left-wing bloc in Spain, which has been negotiating with the Spanish Socialist Party. Welcome to the programme.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk a bit about the Catalan question. What about a referendum, again, which some of the secessionist politicians, shall we say, are still entertaining that idea?
What we are negotiating at the moment is an amnesty law, which I believe, personally, we believe is the most urgent matter. Because what we need to solve is the penal cases that are still under lots of citizens in Catalonia. The Spanish constitution does not forbid the amnesties. In the history of Spain, we have had amnesties. And also in Europe, France passed an amnesty several years ago. The UK is at the moment discussing an amnesty for some issues related to the Northern Ireland conflict. So we believe it's constitutional. And we believe we should adopt it. And then, of course, the Constitutional Court will have the final say.
Do you think a SUMAR with socialists and Catalan parties, how fragile would that coalition be?
I'm pretty convinced that the appointment of Sánchez will be successful and that this agreement that we will have with the different parties in Parliament will be stable for 4 years. Nobody wants the far right in government in Spain. And in order to avoid that, we need to give stability to a progressive government. In the last mandate, we were extremely successful with our social policies. I mean, we raised minimum wage by 47%, labor market reform. We raised pensions for all the Spanish citizens. And the Spanish economy is actually performing very well. It's one of the economies that performs well. So what we're telling the Social Democrats is that we need to continue into this direction.
Well, that's all for part one of the show. I'll be back in a few minutes with more guests and reports from Madrid and from other parts of Spain. I'll see you then.